influence us. People like maybe a parent or grandparent, could be a coach, a pastor, a mentor, a friend. Those are usually the real heroes that impact our lives. And that's certainly true of the biblical heroes that we've been studying throughout our series so far. As we look at their lives, we see that they are imperfect people, but their faith caused them to have a large impact in the world around them, but also an impact in the history of the world. Each of their stories are powerful and they are noteworthy. And that's why we've been taking time over the past 5 weeks to look at these lives. In closing our series, we're going to actually get out of the Old Testament. We've spent 5 weeks in the Old Testament. Today we're going to be in the New Testament as we're going to look at a biblical hero. His name is Peter. Maybe you've heard of him before. But before we get into him, let me ask you this question. Have you ever stopped to think, where would I be without Jesus? Where would I be without Jesus? I know the story of my life would look drastically different than it does right now if it were not for Jesus Christ in my life. He came into my life and he's radically changed me. He's transformed me. His amazing grace has made all the difference for me. Maybe he's done the same for you today as well. I think about that question, where would I be without Jesus? The Bible itself is God's story. Cover to cover, beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. That's God's story. And in it, we see the stories of ordinary people he used in extraordinary ways. We've looked at the story of Noah. We've looked at the story of Abraham. We've looked at the story of Elisha, the story of Moses, and the story of David. Today, the story of Peter, and there's many more. This isn't just, you know, an all-inclusive list. There are more heroes of faith. We can see their lives in the Bible. But ultimately, the story of Jesus is the central story of Scripture. His life story is the central. All stories before Jesus point forwards to him, and all stories after Jesus point backwards to Jesus. And with Peter, we're going to see a life and a story of transformation that took place in him. He went from being an impulsive fisherman to a fearless apostle who helped establish and start the early church. And despite his weaknesses, God's grace empowered him to fulfill his divine calling in life. So as today, as we look at the life of Peter, we're going to see his journey from fisherman to apostle of faith. If you have your Bibles or you have your electronic device, we're going to go to Luke chapter 5 this morning. So feel free to go ahead and go there with me this morning. And I want us to change our position for a moment. Why don't you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? We can turn to Luke 5 and stand together. Let's go to the Lord and ask his blessing on his word today as we engage it this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the congregation here at Wenatchee First Assembly. I'm grateful for the kids who are gathering down in Kids Life right now with Pastor Annie as they're having a time of worship and a time of fun and a time of learning. Father, thank you for the kickoff with the kids' ministries this morning as we enter this fall season. But I ask, Lord, today as we engage your word, that your word would be illuminated to us. God, make our hearts ready to receive, our minds open. God, give us spiritual discernment as we look at your word and we look at the lives of people that you used in miraculous and mighty ways. They are ordinary people, God, people that are fallible, but yet we can see the work that you've done in them. And God, we can be encouraged today in the work that you're doing in and through us. Our names might not be written down in the history books, but I believe, Father, that every person who is here today, those who are watching online, God, there is a purpose and a calling that you have on each and every one of our lives. I ask, Father, that we would hear your voice as you speak today and help us to walk in your will. May we be a blessing and an honor to you today, Father, and we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I recognize I left my water bottle over here, and that's not a good thing. If you have your notes, feel free to get those out, or you can do them online at wfa.church. Just go to the live stream, our resources and live stream, and there's a tab where you can take notes there as well. Point number one, if you're taking notes, we have 5 points today. Is that okay? They're bonus points. That's right, they're bonus points. Right? We're starting school. This school year started, so we're going to get a little deeper. 5 points today. The first one is this. Peter was called by Jesus. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Moses. We looked at his life, and we knew that he had a calling. He was out in the wilderness tending sheep, and when God literally spoke to him out of a burning bush, telling Moses that his plan for his life is that he would go to Egypt and he would free the Israelites from slavery. God called Moses to a particular task and a specific leadership role. And so Moses responded to that calling. But Peter, too, also had a profession prior to Jesus calling him and his interaction with him. He was a fisherman, a hardworking fisherman. That's what he did for a living. That was his trade. So he wasn't a shepherd, but he was a fisherman. And I want us to look at Luke 5, verse 1, and let's hear a little bit about Peter. Luke 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in towards him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat on the boat and taught the crowds from there. How many of you know that wherever Jesus went, crowds usually came? They were attracted to Jesus. They'd heard about Jesus. They wanted to hear him preach and teach. And that's what was happening on this day. The crowds, the multitudes came around him. And he was here on the shore. And it was getting kind of crowded. And the people kept coming and pressing in. And so in order for him to have a little space and for him to be able to be heard better, he asked Simon Peter, hey, can I sit on your boat and can I teach the people? Can I speak to them? Just set off from shore a little bit. And Peter and the other fishermen were washing their nets, and so they weren't actively fishing at that time. They weren't going out on the sea, so he allowed Jesus to sit on his boat and to begin to preach and teach the people. Let's continue. Luke 5, let's go to verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in another boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me, for I am such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that he had caught, as were the others. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, we need to understand, this was not Peter's first encounter with Jesus. We are in Luke chapter 5. If you go back and read Luke chapter 4, you'll read where Jesus came to Simon's home because Simon's mother-in-law was extremely sick, and Jesus came and he healed her miraculously. So there was this miracle that took place in his home. But there was something about this miracle catch that just took place on the Sea of Galilee that made Peter worship Jesus and surrender himself to him. Because Peter was such an experienced fisherman, and because he knew that the conditions were not ideal, and he had been trying to catch fish throughout the night and did not catch a single one, he knew that this was a supernatural miracle that Jesus just performed. Then Jesus told him, don't be afraid, Peter. Come and follow me, and I'll make you more than someone who just catches fish. I will make you a fisher of people, just like I am. And verse 11 says that he left everything and followed Jesus. But that doesn't mean that Peter went home and divorced his wife and sold his house, right, and abandoned his family. That's not what Peter did. What we know is, and by doing this and this calling that Jesus had for Peter's life, He laid aside his career. He laid aside his future plans so that he could follow Jesus, like Jesus being his rabbi, and Peter would be his student. He would be his disciple. That is what he was saying yes to. This was Peter's new life calling. Jesus said, "Follow me." And what did Peter do? He followed Jesus. Peter's name was originally Simon, but Jesus changed it to Peter, signifying this new identity and this new calling in his life. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we move on. We'll be jumping around through some different gospels this morning. Sometimes he'll be referred to as Peter. Sometimes he'll be called Simon Peter. Other times it's just Peter. It's all the same guy, right? This is just the beginning of his story. Let's go on to point number two in our notes today. Peter walked in faith, but he struggled with doubt. How many of you say that you try to walk in faith with Jesus? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever struggled with doubt? Raise your other hand. Come on. Peter walked in faith, but he struggled with doubt. Okay, so we're going to go to another gospel. We're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew. Think of this as gospel hopscotch this morning, okay? Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. And we're going to read a different account. This is not what happened right after Jesus calling Peter to follow him. This is later, a different account. So here we are, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell, and while he was there alone, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and there were mighty heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." Verse 27, but Jesus spoke to them at once, saying, "Do not be afraid. Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. So before this miracle on the Sea of Galilee, there was another miracle that preceded it. And that's where our story began with, kind of picked up from. See, Jesus had just finished feeding thousands and thousands of people with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. After they were fed, it was starting to get evening. Now, one of the things we need to realize in this season of time, the disciples with Jesus, that his disciples were just beginning to see who Jesus was. They were just getting glimpses of this, but their faith was still growing. Their faith in him was growing during this time and season. And so the multitudes had been fed, and Jesus said, "Okay, it's time to send the people away." So he started to send the people home. It was evening time, and Jesus had not yet had the opportunity to spend alone time with the Father, which was the whole reason he had come to this particular area down at the shore by the Sea of Galilee. He was trying to get away from the people, but the people kept following him. And so when they came, he taught them, and he preached, and he did miracles, and then he fed them, and then he sent them home. He said, "Okay, it's evening time. I want to spend some time with my Father. Here's what I want you to do, disciples. I want you to go to our next destination. You need to get on the boats, and I want you to go across the sea, and I will come and I will meet you there. But for right now, I'm going to go be away, and I'm going to spend time with my Father." And so that's what happened. The disciples loaded in the boat. They began to make their way across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus remained behind so that he could pray alone. Sometimes we just need alone time, don't we? We need time just to be, to breathe, to contemplate, to think. Jesus, he pulled away. He had to recharge. He'd been ministering. He'd been pouring out his heart and his soul and loving people and healing people and ministering to people, but he needed that alone time. And so that's what he did. He drew away, but his disciples began to make their way across the sea. As they were going across in the middle of the night, it's dark, all of a sudden, the storm started to swell around them, began to surge. It wasn't a small storm. It was fierce and it was terrifying, frightening for them. And as they're battling the winds and the waves and they're just trying to stay afloat, all of a sudden in the middle of the night, here comes Jesus walking towards them on the water. And of course, their first thought is, this has to be a ghost. This is not natural. This is some kind of a spirit coming out. The spirit's probably coming out here to kill us. We've been trying to keep ourselves alive. We've been doing everything we can to stay afloat. Oh, great. Here comes a spirit on the water to take us out completely. I mean, their minds must just have been racing. They think it's a ghost. They were terrified. And even though they had been with Jesus for a long time, up to this moment, they didn't recognize him as he approached them. And in the same way, friends, sometimes we fail to recognize Jesus when he comes alongside of us when we are experiencing our own personal storms in life. We become so overwhelmed, we get this tunnel vision. And all we can see is the trouble, the bad, the circumstances are in front of us. And we can't even see the fact that Jesus has come right alongside of us. And he's there, and he's present. But we're so caught up in the stuff, in the worry, in the headlines, in the doctor's reports, in our own personal failures. We fail to see that Jesus has come right alongside of us in our own personal storms. But here's the thing, friends. Jesus understands the immaturity of our faith, whether it's our faith or the faith of these disciples. And that's why he called out these comforting words to them. Here they are terrified, thinking they're seeing a ghost, and Jesus calls out these comforting words. Don't be afraid. It's me. It's Jesus. He understood the immaturity of their faith, and he wanted to calm them. So he calls out these words. And then we have Peter, who's on the boat with all the other disciples, all right? He's always enthusiastic. He's always impulsive. He says, hey, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And what does Jesus say? Come. Come, Peter. And so Peter gets on the edge of the boat, swings his leg over, puts one leg down, pulls his other leg over, puts his other leg down, stands up and begins to walk on the water towards Jesus. But these baby steps that he has, they last for only a moment because all of a sudden he takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees the wind and the waves around him. His physical sight is now looking at the storm, the literal storm that they are in the middle of. And he becomes fearful and he begins to sink. And Peter cries out, Lord, save me. And instantly Jesus reaches out his hand and to catch him. And he says these words, Peter, why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? And as followers of Jesus, the implications and the lessons of the story are clear to us today. We have the privilege of sitting in a chair or watching online, sipping coffee. We get to read the stories of the Bible. We can listen to the lessons that others walk through, that Peter experienced himself. But the implications here is this. When we take our eyes off Jesus and we put them on the circumstances that are happening around us, we will fall under the weight of our problems. If we try to shoulder them on our own, we will fail. We will fall under the weight of those things because we're carrying things that it's too much for us. We can't do it on our own. If we call a Jesus in faith, like Peter did, He will catch us and he will lift us above those circumstances that seem so impossible, those situations where it seems like there's no way out. It feels like we are destined to drown. If we call out to Jesus, he will catch us and lift us up again. See, well, here's the thing is, Peter allowed his faith to be displaced by doubt, right? He had faith. He said, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come walking on the water to you. That's faith. That's faith. I don't know if I would have said the same thing. I'm not a fisherman in the slightest, right? But he had faith to begin with, but he allowed his faith to be displaced with doubt. In all this time he had been with Jesus, even Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, was learning to trust Jesus completely. He hadn't figured it all out yet. And I don't know about you, friends, but I haven't figured out what perfect trust looks like either. I'm doing my best every day to trust Jesus with all that I have. But friends, I'm still learning to trust Jesus. Like the old hymn says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I've proved you over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Friends, we are not too unlike Peter. Peter was learning what it was to trust Jesus, and he was walking with Jesus. He physically was able to see Jesus with his eyes. He lived with Jesus. He was in ministry with Jesus, yet he was still learning what it was to trust Jesus more. When Peter jumped out of the boat, his heart was full of good intentions, right? It was good intentions. Hey, you want to be close to Jesus. If that's you, Jesus, I want to see you. And sometimes, friends, we can take a leap of faith, and we have similarly good intentions. But at times, like Peter, our faith can falter. At times, we can doubt. But what we need to remember is this, friends, is that Peter's exercise of faith did not end in failure. If you're taking notes this morning, you can just jot that down. Peter's exercise of faith did not end in failure. We think, oh, well, he was sinking in the water. It didn't end in failure, friends. Although he was sinking in fear, what did he do? He called out to Jesus, help me. And friends, God loves us to hear our voices calling out to him for help. You know why? Because it means we can't do it on our own. We cannot be our own savior. We can't miraculously throw ourselves our own life buoy. Lord, help me. God loves to hear us call out to him and help because we are recognizing it's not about us. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability. We are not God. But yet we can call out to him in a moment. Peter helplessly cried out, and the only one who could help him saved him. Peter's experience reminds us that a lapse of faith is merely a stumble in our journey and walking with Jesus. It's a stumble. There's times where we might have doubts that come. Sometimes we might doubt something, but as long as we feel okay, I might doubt this, but Lord, help me find the truth. I don't want to live by my feelings. I don't want to live by the things that I see. Lord, help me to use doubt as a vehicle to show me your truth. I want to know you more. The good news is, friends, the Lord is near to raise us back safely on our feet when we call out to him in help. Amen? Let's look at another aspect of Peter's story. Point number three, Peter denied Jesus, but he was restored. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he and the remaining disciples began to make their way to the Mount of Olives. Jesus was going to go pray at the Garden of Gethsemane, and so they were heading out. They had just celebrated the Passover meal together. Judas had betrayed Jesus, and now they were making their way. I want us to pick up this story in Matthew chapter 26 now. Matthew 26, we're going to look at verses 31 through 35. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples as they're making their way. Verse 31, on the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee to meet you there." Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. You see, Peter is listening as they're making their way to the Mount of Olives. He's listening to Jesus' words, and when he hears Jesus' words, he confidently declares his loyalty to Jesus. He believed that he would never deny Christ. He said, "You know what? If everyone else turns their back on you, Jesus, I'll be the only one left standing. I will be with you even if it costs me my life. I will never leave you, Jesus. I am by your side." But Peter was unaware of the spiritual reality and the spiritual battle that was taking place and would be taking place in these next moments here. Jesus was already looking beyond the cross. This is the night that he was betrayed. He was already looking beyond the cross. He was already looking to the finished work of salvation. What Hebrews 12:2 says, the joy set before him. He was already seeing that and embracing that and realizing that. And Peter felt brave in that moment, but he had no perception beyond that. He didn't have the insight and the knowledge that Jesus had. And in less than 24 hours, Peter would be intimidated by a servant girl and others. And he would deny that he even knew Jesus. Less than 24 hours after making these statements to the Lord. We're back in Luke chapter 22. Verses 54 through 62. Starting at verse 54, so they arrested him, Jesus, and they led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." Listen to this. But Peter denied it. "Woman," he said, "I don't even know him." After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I am not," Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them because he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Listen to this. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. What a difference not even 24 hours makes. See, the main reason Peter denied knowing Jesus was based on his fear. But to his credit, when everyone else scattered and deserted Jesus when he was arrested, Peter is the only one who followed Jesus, but he followed him at a distance because he didn't want anyone to know that he was one of his disciples. There's no question that fear gripped Peter's heart. He was afraid that Jesus would die, but he was also fearful for his own life as well. Peter found out he wasn't prepared to face the ridicule and the persecution that Jesus was suffering, that he was witnessing right with his eyes there. He quickly realized that he wasn't nearly as bold and as courageous as he had been proclaiming. And in fear, Peter denied the one who loved him. After his denial in verse 62, it says he left the courtyard weeping bitterly. And this really shows us the deep remorse and the repentance that he was feeling. It stood out to me so clearly, I was studying this week and reading this, is that he was watching Jesus at a distance. He had been arrested and he's been put on this mock trial. Yet the Lord looked back at Peter, made eye contact with him after the rooster crowed. In those words that Jesus had spoke hours before flashed in Peter's memory. That's what caused him to weep so bitterly, and he left the courtyard. But if we fast forward just a couple days after Jesus' death and resurrection, two women are at the tomb, and they encounter an angel there who delivers them a very specific message. The angel instructed the women to go and to tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus was going to meet them in Galilee, just as he had told them prior to his death. Now, why would the Lord have an angel give this message and specifically point Peter out by name? Why would he do that? It's interesting because it's all the disciples and Peter. Usually when it's talking about a group and your name is mentioned as a side note, you're in trouble for something, right? That's the way it was in my house, you know. Oh, and Darth did this. Oh, man. But why would the Lord have this angel single out Peter by name? Well, I believe it's this, that Peter needed to know that he had been forgiven and loved after his denial, and that his story of redemption wasn't over. Peter needed to hear those words. Peter denied Jesus three times before his crucifixion. And the message that came from the angel was a direct sign of Jesus' forgiveness and reassurance that Peter's failure did not change his calling and it did not change his relationship with Jesus. Peter needed to hear this, to have this reassurance come to him. Yes, Peter denied Jesus, but in the end, Peter was restored. Aren't you glad that our God is a God of restoration? He takes that which is broken apart and he restores it. Relationship between mankind and God was broken in the garden when sin entered, and God came up with this plan of restoration. I'm going to reconcile people to myself. And he knew that it would cost the life of his son. But he is a God of restoration. And when we doubt him or we fail him, he is quick to respond when we come to him in repentance and in faith. It's not the end of the story. Our story is not done. If we fail, if we fall short, if we doubt, if we deny, that's not the end of the story, because God is always there. He's always wooing us back to himself. When we fall short, he said, let's get you up on your feet again. Let's dust off your knees. Let's keep going. Let's keep on the journey. Don't give up. I haven't given up on you. I forgive you. I love you. Let's keep the journey going. That's our God. Our God is a God of restoration. Let's continue through Peter's journey, though. In his story, as we look at point number four, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preached boldly. Before Jesus' ascension to heaven, he was crucified, he raised on the third day after his ascension, he told his disciples to return to Jerusalem and to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which the Father had promised long before. And his followers did just that. They went back to Jerusalem and they went to the upper room and they waited for this promise to come. Exactly 10 days later, on what is called the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit powerfully poured out on all the believers who were gathered there. This was accompanied by the sound of a mighty rushing wind and what looked like tongues of fire or flames of fire resting upon each person who was there. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to do so. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says these words to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that's exactly what happened on that day. Peter was present in this room with the other believers, the other disciples, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had the power to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. See, that's the one thing about the Holy Spirit. When he resides within us, he empowers us to be witnesses of Jesus. He gives us the ability to proclaim who God is. And that's what happened. Others in Jerusalem heard this commotion that was going on, and people started kind of trying to gather around and try to figure out what exactly was taking place. What were these sounds that we were hearing? What's going on in this area? So crowds began to assemble. And Peter stepped forward and began to preach a message to everyone who was present. And he didn't just preach a quiet message. He preached a bold message. He began by telling them that the things that they were seeing and hearing was a fulfillment of Joel's Old Testament prophecy, where God said that he would pour his Spirit out upon all flesh, all people. Then he goes on to tell them that, and he uses the Psalms of David, the prophecies that are found in the Psalms, saying that Jesus is the Messiah, that he had died, but then he would be raised to life. That's what he was raised to life, and that he was sitting at the right hand of the Father. Peter challenged the people to repent from their sins, to be baptized, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that sermon, the Bible says that 3,000 people believed that day, and they were baptized. Was it by anything that Peter did? He was just a willing vessel that had been filled up. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He spoke boldly and with power. I've never preached to 3,000 people in my life, let alone had 3,000 people respond to an altar call. But you see, that's the thing. But the power of God can do anything. These people heard the truth revealed to them. Remember, they're the ones who had Jesus crucified. Yet through the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, he preached boldly. 3,000 people believed and were baptized that very day. Peter the fisherman had become a fisher of men, just as Jesus said. But it didn't stop there. In Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, we read where Peter and John, they're out, they're performing miracles in Jesus' name. They're professing Jesus to the multitudes. And the religious leaders of that time, they confronted them. They didn't like what was going on, and they confronted them and had them arrested. But even with that, the people that John and Peter ministered to that day, says 5,000 more people came to God in salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit, because Peter was a willing vessel to the Lord. Peter and John were brought before the priests and the chief elders and the teachers of the law. And these religious leaders began to question them about what they were doing. And Peter began to preach to them. They pulled him off the streets and they were trying to interrogate him. And Peter started preaching with boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit to them. And so these religious leaders didn't know what to do. They're like, we got a problem here. I'm not sure what we're going to do. And so they commanded Peter and John to never again speak or teach in the name of Jesus. They said, just go. But as you go, we don't want you to ever mention Jesus' name again. We don't want you to say anything about him. We don't want you performing miracles in his name. Just go and quit causing problems, would you? Jesus was enough. He's gone. Now we don't want to deal with you guys. But I love their response. I'm just going to read it to you. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. This is what they said to these religious leaders. Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Do you really think that God would want us to listen to what you tell us to do rather than what he's telling us to do? We cannot stop telling people about the things we have seen and the things that we have heard. And Peter didn't stop then, nor did he in the future. And that would lead to significant persecution in his life and imprisonment. And then eventually, at the end of his life, Peter would be a martyr for the sake of the gospel. History tells us that he was crucified. We don't know. There's aspects to that have been said. We're not sure if those are completely accurate. Some people said that he requested to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as Jesus died. We don't know if that's exactly the truth, but we do know that he was crucified for the sake of the gospel, that people would hear and that they would know and that they would believe in the name of Jesus. Friends, to do what I'm doing this morning, I count as a privilege and an honor that I can stand and proclaim the name of Jesus without fear that I could be arrested for speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. There's countries in our world, places in the world right now where this could not take place, or if it happened, the person proclaiming the gospel could be arrested. They could be imprisoned. They could be put to death. Peter refused to stop telling the people what he had seen and what he had heard. And he was able to live a life for God's glory because of what God had done for him, but also through the power of the Holy Spirit who resided in him and gave him the ability to proclaim the name of Jesus to a world that so desperately needs it. And friends, today we have the privilege to proclaim the name of Jesus to a world that so desperately needs it. He is the hope that people are looking for. They don't know that, but he is the hope. He is the peace. He is the joy. They think they're, I just want to be happy in life. No, what you need is joy. And real joy comes in Jesus. We have the privilege, as Peter did. As long as he had breath, Peter boldly proclaimed the good news of Jesus. And that brings us to my fifth and final point this morning. Peter played a key role in the early church. Peter was a leader among the 12 apostles. In fact, he was the first disciple to proclaim and confess Jesus as Lord. Did you know that? One day Jesus is walking with his disciples and he's the rabbi and they're the students and they're following him. And as he's walking, I believe many times he was probably teaching and instructing them as they were going along. And he asked them this question one day. He said, hey, let me ask you guys. We meet a lot of people as we're out doing a ministry and people say a lot of things. Let me ask you, disciples, who do the people say that I am? And they started to respond. They said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elisha. Some people say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus stopped that question. He said, hey, let me ask you a different question now. Who do you say that I am? I know what the people are saying about me, but you guys, you 12, who do you say that I am? And I want you to hear Peter's response, Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18. Peter answered that question, and here's what he said. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. He says, Peter, based on this revelation that you have, this revelation that has been given to you by God, not by any human being, this revelation hand-delivered to you, you confess the truth. And because you've experienced this truth and this revelation, many others are also going to experience this revelation because I have come for everyone, not just a few. I have come that all can have life, that all can be forgiven. Upon this revelation, Peter, I'm going to rename you Peter because that's the rock, and that's what I'm going to build the church going forward on, this revelation of who I am. And by renaming Simon Peter, it also symbolized the foundational role that Peter would have in the early church. I want to list for you just quick five strengths that we see in Scripture of Peter in this role that God had called him to. First, the first thing I see in him is his deep love for Jesus made him a great leader. We just read that in Matthew 16. Another strength that we see in him is he fearlessly proclaimed the message of Christ. Oh, there was times where he did fear things, but yet God used him in a mighty way to proclaim the message of Jesus. Number three, his failures did not stop him from fulfilling his destiny, the things that God had called him to. Number four, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he walked in power. We talked about that. In fact, there was times where he would be out among the people and he would be walking through an area, and if his shadow crossed someone who was sick, that person would be healed. Not because of who Peter was, but he was ministering in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. He walked in power. And number five, he was an instrument in uniting the Jews and the Gentiles together in Christ. Again, Jesus came as the Messiah to his chosen people, But yet he was rejected. He was crucified because they didn't believe he was the Messiah. So as Jesus, his life spoke, and as he was risen from the dead, the truth of who he was revealed. And so the work of revealing Jesus, the risen Messiah, was still being proclaimed to the Jews. And at that time in the world, you were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. There was only two kind of people in the world. And God used Peter to proclaim the good news of Jesus even to the Gentiles. Because friends, the good news is for everyone. Amen? Doesn't matter who it is. It's for everyone. He is willing that all should come to repentance. And so it's for everyone. And God used him in that process in the early church. Peter lived his life for the glory of God, and he finished his calling faithfully. He was an ordinary man whom God used to impact the world for Jesus. And I want to end with this by saying is, his life still speaks today. It's a story that we read, but this isn't just made up. His life wasn't a parable. We believe these things actually took place. And we believe the miracles and the things that God did in and through Peter. His life still speaks today, just like all the other stories we've talked about in the past 6 weeks. I'm going to invite the worship team to come out and join me on stage this morning. Today being Communion Sunday, we're going to prepare to receive communion together in just a few moments. In fact, Pastor Jerry, our legacy pastor, is going to lead us in our time of communion this morning. But as we've talked about Peter, we see that his life story is a story of transformation. He went from being this impulsive fisherman, this rough and gruff guy, to a fearless apostle of the faith who helped establish the church, the New Testament church, which we are a part of today. Despite his weaknesses, which were many, God's grace empowered him to fulfill his divine calling, what God had called him to. Peter's journey teaches us that no failure is final, but with faith and humility and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can rise to fulfill God's given calling in our lives as well. There's four prayer points I want us to consider this morning. Would you bow your heads with me for just this moment? Whenever we come to a time of communion, it says we should take a moment and evaluate ourselves. And this is a good time to evaluate these prayers. Like, Lord, help me be bold in my faith. Lord, help me be like Peter and have a boldness that can only come from you. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. Lord, restore me wherever I have failed, just as you restored Peter. And Father, make me a vessel of your power and of your revival. If you're here today and you need your spirit revived, you know Jesus, you love Jesus, but you're not walking as closely with him as you have in the past. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Lord, revive in me the joy of my salvation. Or maybe you're here today and you say, no, I've never made a commitment to Jesus. I've never confessed him as Lord of my life. And I realize there's things in my life that really keep me from making that decision because I'm ashamed of my sin and my failures, but I'm tired of carrying these things and these burdens, and I want to give those to Jesus today. If that's you and you're here or you're watching online, say, I just want to surrender all this stuff. I've been trying to do this on my own for too long, and I want to surrender my sin and my guilt, and I want to just give that to Jesus today, believing that he died on the cross for my sins, and then he can take those sins and he can remove those sins and the guilt of those sins from my life. And if you would say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior today. I want to live the rest of my life for you. He will receive you. He will forgive you. He will instantly reach his hand down and catch you as you've been sinking in your sin. That's our God today. So as we reflect and as we pray, as this song is played, would you just turn your hearts towards Jesus? And then Pastor Jerry will lead us in a time of communion, of celebration. We have open communion here. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to receive communion. But let's all take a moment in prayer and speak to the Lord and allow Him to work in our hearts and our lives. Amen. Let's just sing to the Lord. Come on.